Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, minister at First Christian Church Conroe. I want to welcome you to our Sunday worship podcast for Sunday, July the 12th. First of all, a word of regret. I really regret that we can't be in worship together this Sunday in our sanctuary. But considering the situation in both Montgomery County and the state of Texas and really the United States as a whole, it is just not a good time for us to be gathering together for worship. But I am sorry that we had to go back to this worship, even though I look forward to the day when we can again gather together and be in worship and sing our songs in the same place. Also, I want to remind you that our midweek podcast will still be going on. In fact, I'm thinking about making that a study of some kind rather than just me talking at you. So this week I will try to put forth some ideas that we can grow and learn together even in this time of pandemic. Also, on Sunday morning from 10 until 11 a.m., I will be at the church and will be offering communion elements in our communion to go so that you can get those and take them home and listen to the podcast worship and take communion together with the rest of your congregation in spirit. Now let's take just a few moments to breathe, to get quiet, and to prepare ourselves to be in an attitude of worship together.
Praise you with all of my strength.
Our call to worship this morning will be a responsive call to worship, and your response will be, "Show us the way, O God." God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Show us the way, O God. Holy One, you accept our offerings of praise. You hold our lives in your hands day after day. May our lives reflect your light that shines within us. Let us give God all our praise and worship. Show us the way, O God. We know that prayer is at the very heart of who we are as followers of Christ. I want you to think of all those whom you are aware that need to be held in prayer this day. I want you to especially pray for the Moore family in the passing of Jane Moore this past week. Keep Tommy and the kids in your prayers this day. And keep our nation in your prayers as we are being drawn farther into this pandemic of the coronavirus. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Loving God, we seek to do your will each and every day, sometimes incompletely, sometimes haltingly, but we want to be your faithful children. Thank you for the words of life that come to us through Scripture, through prayer, through our being witnessed to by each other, which we come this day to hear again. May those words take root in our hearts this day and bear fruits in our lives. O Lord, we lift you in prayer this day. The caregivers, all of the medical professionals, all of those who drive the buses and pick up our garbage and do the necessary work to keep us going as a culture, I ask that you be with them in a special way and allow them the knowledge that they are held in prayer. We pray for our first responders. We know that their work is so tiring. Give them strength and energy and hope that they need to make it through this time of coronavirus pandemic. Oh, Lord, bring us closer to you during this time of worship. Allow us the gracious knowledge that you love us with a love that is pure and unending. Give us the strength to go out into our world and become agents of peace, of change, of hope, and healing. O Lord, we will give you all the glory for Christ's sake, in whose name and who taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing. promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally, beloved, strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all and all. Standing on the promises of God.
In worship, we both bring gifts and receive gifts. We bring our gifts to God this day. You know, I once heard a farmer say, "I don't grow crops, I grow soil." What he meant was that the key to a bountiful harvest is not necessarily the seeds, but the soil in which they grow. Rich, cultivated soil will produce more abundantly than soil that is weak, neglected, thinned out, or misused. Our hearts are the soil in which God is growing seeds, seeds of love, seeds of grace, seeds of generosity. But like the different soils in the parable, our hearts may not be ready to receive what God has to offer. How can we be fertile soil for God's bounty? By making sure we are sharing the fruits of our labor with those around us. We are so blessed, even to 100-fold. By our generous God, we are blessed. Let's now take time to share what we have been given for God's work, so that the soil in our hearts remains ready for all the blessings that God has to offer us and offer others through us. Take time during this worship or afterwards to give your gift, maybe online, or you can bring your gift to the church sometime during the week, or just put it in the mail. Mary Louise and I have found that it's the easiest to give online. I encourage you to do that. Let's have a prayer of thanksgiving together. Growing God, You have planted Your seeds of life within us. We offer to You this cornucopia of fruits which You have produced through us. Multiply them 100-fold and use them to show grace and mercy to others. Amen. And we receive gifts as we come around the communion table together. I was reading a devotional book recently, and it talked about the communion table, and it made a startling statement. It said, "This table represents death." That kind of startled me to hear it put that way. I know that's a morbid thought, but it's true. The body here has been broken. The blood here has been shed. Someone who didn't know better might think this is a memorial service for someone dead rather than a meal shared with someone still alive. That's why Paul's words are so important. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead to sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Christ died so that His Spirit could radiate out from one place to all places, from a cross to a table, from the sorrow of death to the joy of resurrection. Yes, this table may represent death, but it signifies the new life that Christ has for each of you. If Christ is in you, you are invited to take the bread and eat. You are invited to take the cup and drink. You are invited to take the Spirit of Christ into you as a reminder that you are reckoned as righteous in God's eyes, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what has been done for us. The table is set and all are welcome. Let us share in communion together. O God, bless this holy meal to our lives and our lives to your service. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I will be reading from the 6th chapter, the 25th verse, and following. It's a long passage, but it's an important one. Listen up. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Do not, therefore, be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. This passage came to mind last week, one day when I was listening to the Oldies channel on the radio. Did you ever get a song in your head and it just won't let you be? Well, that happened to me. Well, here it is. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to learn it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. Oh, I can just hear all of y'all out there saying, please make it stop, make it stop. Don't worry, I won't sing anymore. But that song by Bobby McFerrin all those years ago has been rattling around in my brain ever since. So I figure if I transfer the song to you, maybe it'll leave me alone. But let's look at this passage from Matthew and see how it relates to us. Really, isn't that what Scripture is for? It's supposed to be. It's supposed to relate to us, to encourage or instruct. Matthew asks, "Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing?" Question, what percentage of our time, our energy, our brain power, our worrying is spent on building bigger barns? We are a busy species, are we not? God provides. Consider the lilies. God's creation is sufficient. Think about it in this way. If you look at the creative moment, that time back, say, 15 billion years ago by the Big Bang Theory, within that one instant of that Big Bang, that's the working out of Genesis 1, by the way. In the beginning, God created. Every particle of matter, the physicists tell us, that would ever be created was created in that one instant. And the really good news is that the creative acts of God continue to this day. Now, this passage does not mean just sit back and let God do all the work. I'm sure I've told you that little story by one of the old timers in the 12-step program a year ago when he was getting on some newcomer for just not doing the work. And he told him, "Sonny, if you're sitting in your prayer closet praying for food, God is not going to stick a weenie through the keyhole. You got to get out and get some food." It's saying two sayings, let go and let God, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those are not contradictory. God has done the creative work up front. Now it is up to us to be God's creative agents in this universe. We follow God, and we are to be followers of Christ, and we are to be bringers of good news, and that good news entails bringing God's creative efforts to their fruition. You know, that little old saying, it's those 10 words, those 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. Except I like it better when it says, if it is to be, it is up to us. Energy production, for instance. We are living in a world that energy is changing in terms of how we produce it and its effect on creation. One of these days, we won't be burning fossil fuels. We will be using, I don't know, electricity or some exotic energy that hasn't even been thought of yet. But we will be co-creators with God in that. Then Jesus asks, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your life? Worrying is simply unproductive. Corrie Ten Boom reminds us, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. By definition, worrying is not problem solving. It is just mental churning about the problem. Instead of perhaps don't worry, be happy, it might be on occasion don't worry, get busy. Or even more irrational, is that mental worrying, that mental churning about something might not happen. How much of your worrying time do you worry about things that probably are not going to happen in the first place? Oh no, what if? And then fill in the blank. Well, how do we stop worrying? Well, I'm not sure we're ever going to quit worrying completely. But how do we moderate our time spent worrying so that it doesn't control our lives? First of all, just begin your day by counting your blessing. Spend quiet time each day being thankful. That is so simple yet so profound. Thanksgiving cancels out worrying. And then after you've given thanks and you've got a problem in front of you, ask the simple question, is this situation one that I can control or not? If not, give it up. You're wasting your time. If it is, don't worry about it. Get busy on it. That means, number three, give your energy to problem solving, not needless worry. And then lastly, end your day by counting your blessings. Then Jesus reminds us that it's kind of Jesus reminds us that one day at a time, that last passage, let today's trouble be enough for today. I know it sounds trite, but this present moment is all we are given. Let go. Let God. Don't worry. Be happy. Amen. Now, may the good Lord bless and keep each one of you. May the good Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the good Lord lift up her glorious countenance upon you and give you peace, worry-free peace. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear.
Forsake